needed understanding that we need to have. And it is simply this. When we say that Jesus Christ is our Savior, we are also saying that He is our Lord. When we say that Jesus Christ is Savior, we are also saying that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And if He is our Lord, then we are His disciples. It's important to understand what is meant by disciple here. There's a variety of meanings. It could be simply a student, one who learns from another. And that's a right thing. We ought to think of ourselves as people who learn from the Word, learn from Jesus as He speaks to us through the Word. But there's another slightly different definition that really fits what is meant for us as followers of Jesus Christ to be a disciple of Christ. And that definition, that nuance is that we are not only students, not only learning the truth, we are also apprentices. We are learning a trade. When we study the Word of God, and when we declare that Jesus Christ is our Lord, we are saying we are seeking to be apprentices. When Jesus called the disciples and they followed Him, He gave them much instruction. He told them much about the kingdom of God. He told them much about how they should live. But He also was with them, teaching them by His life, mentoring them. At one point, He sent them out. He sends them out two by two to do the work. It wasn't about just learning stuff. It was also about doing stuff. You, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I would invite you to think of yourself as not only a student, not only eager to learn the Word, not only eager to let it fill your mind and your spirit, but also to think of yourself as someone who is learning a trade, someone who is being mentored, someone who is an apprentice. That whatever it is you learn here or anywhere else at camp, it's not to learn it, it's not just to learn it, it's also to do it. And the best way to learn it and do it is to do it. Recently, I went to a member of our congregation here who is highly skilled woodworker. And I had bought this really expensive, tool called a router. And I bought it 2, maybe 3 years ago. And it was still in the box because I was a little afraid of it. I didn't know exactly how it, and anyway. So I went to Tom. Oh, I wasn't going to tell you his name, but and he gave me a lesson on how to use the thing. That was months ago, and in a sense, he was mentoring me on that tool, which is a wonderful thing. He gave me wonderful instruction, and I'm going to do great things with that tool. Except, I haven't done anything with that tool. I have learned. He has taught me. And I thought of myself as a kind of minor apprentice, but I didn't do it. This is an awkward way of doing this, but I may need to come back. Because I didn't do it. The same is true with Scripture. God's Word speaking to us. We need to find ways to do it. Whatever that might be, however it works out, we ought to leave this place and any place. We ought to leave our own devotional life, our own reading of Scripture. We ought to leave it with an understanding and intention of, I got to do that. In some way, I got to do that. I'm not only going to listen to the word, I'm not only going to hear the word, I'm going to not only be a student of the word, I'm going to be an apprentice. I'm going to find a way, in some way, however small it might be, to put it into practice. That's what James is saying to us. Do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. I should caution you that he doesn't say, don't listen to the word. He says, do not merely listen to the word. Don't forget to listen. Let me go off on that a little bit. I think I would be, it would be my custom if I were to preach on a text like this, as I am, that I would say to you, you know, read scripture as if you were an innocent, fresh, open-minded reader. Let it change your life. Let it influence you. Consider yourself a blank slate. And I think that's good teaching. But I would alter that a little bit. I would say, you know, when we come to Scripture, again, in our own reading, in Bible studies, here, wherever it might be, I don't know that we can do that. I can't. I come with my own preconceived notions. I come with my own prejudices. I tend to read or listen to people who agree with my already held opinions. Instead of pretending that we can come at Scripture as blank slates, instead I would encourage you to recognize your prejudices, recognize your biases, recognize your opinions. Understand that they're there, and then come to Scripture and listen to it in whatever form that might take. In the history class that we went through in the fall, one of the things that kept happening in church history is that believers would be incredibly vicious to one another. I mean, I don't mean vicious and they weren't nice to each other. I mean vicious in terms of torture, and killing, and raping, and all manner of things. Why? Because they understood Scripture to say, to justify what they were doing. In our own history as a nation, the church has a history of justifying terrible things, slavery, et cetera, because of the particular bias we brought to Scripture. I'm not telling you that you can come at Scripture without prejudice and without preconceived opinions. I'm just saying to you, note them, understand them. Understand that you come at Scripture with the attitudes that you were taught to you or modeled for you in church or by your parents, or by your friends. Understand that that's all there, and then come to Scripture as best you can and read it afresh and listen to it and listen to it and then do it. I have in my notes here, ignorance is not a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, we should listen. And James says, do it. James says, whoever looks into the word intently, whoever looks into the word, the law, intently. How do we do that? There's no secret to that. We think about it. You know, I don't think this is an egotistical thing to say, to encourage you to do. But, you know, this would be one way, an imperfect way to be sure, but one way to look at the law intently, to think about it. Take what I say this morning and what the scripture says this morning, and you talk to someone about it. At the very least, you think about it. And in that sense, look into the law intently because you talk about it. It could be from what I say or something you read or something someone else said. It could be in the Sunday school class. It could be whatever it might be, that when you leave this place, you don't leave it here. You actually bring it to mind by talking to someone about it. Perhaps your children, perhaps your spouse, perhaps some stranger on a corner, whatever it might be, that you bring it to mind again by talking about it. Whoever looks or listens to the law intently, think about it, let it change you, do it. I have given you in the bulletin this morning a formula that in some ways captures what James is saying in this passage. The formula is simple enough. Doing plus not listening equals trouble. If as followers of Jesus Christ, we decide on a course of action without having some understanding or some awareness of what Scripture has to say about how we live, then we're headed for trouble. Again, ignorance is not a fruit of the Spirit. We should, to the best of our knowledge, know what Scripture has to say and how it wants us to live. You know, the reality is that sometimes we'll look at one another and we'll look at others and we'll say, how can they do that? How can they think that way? How can they talk that way? How can they behave that way? How can they have that opinion? Well, it might be because there has come a separation between their listening and their doing, but more likely they're not listening anymore, just like we don't listen. Sometimes we don't listen. We don't let the Word of God shape how we think or live. We don't let the Word of God shape how we treat one another. We don't let the Word of God shape how we treat our children. We don't let the Word of God shape how we treat our parents. We don't let the Word of God shape how we treat our finances. When we listen, when we do without listening to Scripture, trouble. Second part of the formula, if we listen and we don't do, that becomes self-defeat. Here you go. Being here this morning and patiently listening to the sermon, going to church anywhere, to worship anywhere, to going to a Bible study, even having your own devotional life. That is not a substitute for doing. Having been here, you ought not to say, well, in some way or another, you say to yourself, well, now I have done. I have done the Word of God. Yes and no. You need to leave here and do the Word of God. If you think of yourself, if you think of being here, listening to this sermon, listening to the teacher in Sunday school, listening in a Bible study, reading Scripture on your own, and you think that's doing, then that equals self-deceit. That's looking in the mirror and forgetting what you see. Third part of the formula. Listening plus doing equals blessing. Blessing for you and blessing for others. I think when you are aware, when I am aware of doing something the Word of God wants me to do, when I do something God that I know God commands me to do, there is a blessing in that. There is, if you will, a kind of selfish blessing. I feel good. I feel good about myself. But, or rather, in addition to, when it's something that affects other people, it also makes them feel good. It also blesses them. When we listen to the word, when we listen to it intently, when we take it from, for example, this place, when we remember what the word of God says to us, and we apply it in some small way, we will be blessed. We will feel good about ourselves, about God, about others. I think that's an implied promise in this text. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are tempted to be only listeners. We are tempted to substitute listening for doing. Remind us, Father, that you are not pleased with being mere listeners. You want us to be doers as well. May it be, Father, that we will not fall to the temptation to always be getting ready to obey you, to do your work. Remind us, Father, that getting ready to do your work is about getting ready to do your work, to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.